5. McAdam and Baron von Roth were picking up their papers, admiring the signatures, getting ready to leave. Johnny said, "How did you get those directors in Snouch to pay enough attention to you to listen?" The Baron boomed a laugh.
"It was the way we started our account. It went all through the bank in seconds. Since the Cyclos hogged it, and it was already scarce, gold in the Gradides is soaring at 500,000 credits an ounce. We opened our account with gold. Your gold, Johnny. Near a ton of it. We melted it into ingots some time ago. Almost broke our back lugging it into the bank. They hadn't seen that much gold in a century."
Johnny laughed. "So even Turl's gold came in handy."
"After all that work at the load," said McAdam, "that gold belonged to you and the crews. We'll bring it home if you want, but it's on exhibit right this minute, behind armored glass, in what's left of the main foyer of the Galactic Bank and Snouch. Historic gold, Johnny."
"Another thing," said Johnny. "What did you do with Care that got him to sign those papers?"
"Care?" said the Baron. "Well, for one thing, he is your friend, Johnny, and we said it would help you. But Stormalong saw your views of Cyclos at night, and he told Care it was one dead planet. You never saw such relief. He's always felt hunted by them. So, as the last official planet head, he even had his appointment papers, and they're attached to the deed. He was really glad to be rid of it. They promised him a standard employment contract, minus the clause to ship the body home. They let him keep the few 100,000 credits he hooked out of the loot of his predecessor, and guaranteed him breed gas for the rest of his life. I hope we can fulfill the latter."
Johnny thought of the moon Phobia. Yes, they could pump tons of it into bottles with the transshipment rig. No pain, easy. Johnny watched them packing up and then said, "You two certainly did a brilliant job. Really extraordinary." They grinned at him.
"We had a good example, you."
"But," said Johnny, "how did you know to word that intergalactic sale contract that way for Turl to sign?"
McAdam laughed. "When Brown Limper Stafford tried to use it to secure his new currency issue, we saw that it wasn't a legal contract. Turl had even tried to forge his own signature.
He had a copy of the original, and it was a ridiculous mess.
So the Baron and I got to thinking. It had been nearly 11 months since you sent those bombs to Cyclo, and there had been no counterattack. If Cyclo were gone, then according to Care, there wasn't much chance of other mining planets having enough breathe gas left. They'd all be dead."
"So," said the Baron, "we took a banker's chance, and worded it so that it was valid either way."
"And there's one additional reason," said McAdam, "knowing how you operate. If you set out to destroy Cyclo, which you did, we put our bets on the fact that you had really done it. And we were right. You can't go very wrong putting your chips on Johnny," said the Baron.
He hitched a stack of documents under his arm and picked up a bulging briefcase, looking around to see if they had everything.
"Then they're all set." "Oh, no, we're not," said Sir Robert.
His tone was so positive and censorious that they stopped and looked at him, startled.
"I think," said Sir Robert, "that it's a wee bit disgraceful the way you use this poor lad."
"I don't understand," said McAdam, shocked.
"You use his picture on Earth currency? You use his energy and ideas to further your own ends? You own the bulk of 16 universes? You're now plotting to put his face on galactic money? And here he is, poor as a church mouse. Why, he doesn't even collect his own pilot pay that I know of. I know you're going to lend him money for a factory, but what's that? Just a plan to get him in debt? You should be ashamed of yourselves."
And he meant it. He couldn't have had more effect on McAdam and the Baron if he'd shot them with a stun gun. Johnny had tried to stop Sir Robert the moment he had gotten an inkling of what the old Scot was saying. Johnny didn't think he needed any money. If he was hungry, he could always go out and hunt. But Sir Robert's hand had stopped him. The Baron looked at McAdam, and McAdam looked at the Baron. Clearly, they were two very puzzled men. Sir Robert just kept on glaring at them. It was very uncomfortable. Finally, Sir Robert said, "You might at least give him a little payment for using his picture." Suddenly, a light seemed to dawn on McAdam's face. He dropped his bundled documents on the table and began to rifle through a near-bursting attaché case. He found what he was looking for and, holding it, sat in a chair before them. "Oh, Johnny, Johnny, please forgive us. It is plain you don't know." He began to open up some documents. "Then you never mentioned it," said the Baron. "We thought you didn't want it known." McAdam was holding out the information announcement of the charter of the bank. "The Earth Planetary Bank was chartered by the original, valid 30 Chief Council. This was the information sheet that was released about it." He took the second document he held and opened it. "But this is the actual charter as passed. The actual charter is the only one valid under the law, and the Baron and I have wondered many times why they were different. But do you remember who was sometimes acting as secretary of the original council?" The information sheet on the charter mentioned only McAdam and Baron von Roth. The Baron and McAdam looked at each other, and in chorus said, "Brown Limper Stafford?" "For reasons of his own," said McAdam, "he miscopied the resolution for public release. We stupidly thought you didn't want it disclosed." He opened up the original charter, and there at the top, ahead of the names of Baron von Roth and Andrew McAdam, was the name, bright and clear, Johnny Goodboy Tyler. "Haven't you ever noticed we always tried to ask your opinion of any big deals?" pleaded the Baron, very contrite. "You were doing so many things more important that we just carried on," said McAdam. "But Sir Robert, this lad is the owner of a third part of the Planetary Bank by charter." The Baron said to Sir Robert, "Johnny now owns 2/9, or about 22% of the Galactic Bank, and 1/3 of Intergalactic Mining Company." He turned to McAdam. "Maybe we should make it more." McAdam looked at Sir Robert. "Did you think we would leave the poor lad, as you call him, out in the cold? He also owns part of that ton of gold, and altogether, you'd need a computer to add up his money. It's in the quintillions. He's the richest poor lad these 16 universes have ever seen, including the late Emperor of Cyclo." Sir Robert let go of Johnny and suddenly began to laugh. He punched Johnny in the shoulder. "Get along with you, you church mouse in disguise." He looked at the others. "Aye, gentlemen, I'll let it be and see enough's enough. Just barely, mind, just barely. See," he added, "maybe you should go out there and buy him 6 of those fancy lords for his gillies." "He already bought them," said McAdam, "down to the last bauble in their boots." All but Johnny boomed out laughter. His head was going round.